If I knew this,
I wouldn't eat so much dinner. I got down there and ate a lot of dinner. Pray for me. We need your prayers. We always feel the need of the Lord's children. Prayers of the Lord's children. I don't know whether I'll be blessed to preach or not, but I tell you one thing. I thank God that I'm here. To be in the presence of the saints of God and to be in the vineyard of his kingdom. One of the sisters and I were talking at lunch, and the question was raised that no matter where you go in this United States, and you meet up with the old Baptists, it seemingly they're all the same. They've all got something in common. And what a glorious thought that is, that when brethren and sisters and from different areas and different places in our land can meet together in one accord and one mind to worship God. I want to speak to you this evening for a little while, and I assure you that I won't be before you long, because unless the Lord overshadows me, I don't know where I'm at. If I am, I might be here a long time. But I'm trying not to keep you too long, and I've got a bad throat, and I hope it'll hold up till tomorrow, and that way we'll have a week to rest anyway till next Sunday. But let's speak to you upon one word in the Bible, and that word is rock, R-O-C-K, rock. A lot of people would look at me and say at this time, well, that's one of the, I don't know how you'd phrase this, I've never heard that subject used before, the word rock. But we know that in the Greek language, that rock means petro, P-E-T-E-R-O-S. And petro literally means a little rock. And we find this scripture, and I want to speak about this rock this evening, but the rock that I'm going to speak about is not a little rock. We find in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning with the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we'll go to the book of Jeremiah and quote one verse. I want to talk to you this evening about the kingdom and about the church. We find in the book of Jeremiah, and in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall not be left unto other people, or shall not be consumed. Now we believe this evening, according to the teaching of God's word, that the Bible is a book that is given to you and I by the inspiration of men that were called of God to write. It is for our benefit, it is for our use, it is for our instruction as we live here in this earth. And children, I say this, there is no book in this world that can compare with the King James Version of the book of the called the Bible. Because I believe that it is the infallible Word of God. I believe that it is the truth. And I believe that God has to inspire you, has to inspire me, that God has to enlighten us to the time and place when we can hear the Word, when we hear the Gospel. I can speak to you all evening as far as that's concerned, and you can hear the oral Word that I'm speaking. But if you hear the Gospel this evening, if I'm blessed to preach the Gospel, and you are blessed to hear the Gospel, then you have to be quickened by the Spirit of God, and you have to be born again, because the Bible says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because he's spiritually discerned and he has no concern for them. A person that knows not God has no concern for the things that we advocate and the things that we teach. Brother, I'll say that upon the authority of God's Word. Now here we have a picture before us. We find in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, the 32nd chapter in the 4th verse. He is the rock. His works is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Then we'll go to the book of Psalms and read 3 verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now listen. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, whom is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And we'll go to the 10th chapter, the first Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I said all that I said this evening, since I have stood in your presence, to get before you that there is no doubt. There is no doubt, children of God, in my mind or your mind at this point, that the rock that I'm speaking about to you this evening is none other than Jesus Christ. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Brethren, I want us this evening to put ourselves in the place this evening. Who do we say? Who do you say? Who do I say that the Son of Man am? And some said that there are John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered him, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, the Bible says, and he goes on and he says, our flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And therefore he revealed unto thee, my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And brother, thou said this morning, I believe, that the church kingdom will be here, when the end of time shall come, that it will stand forth upon a solid foundation. And therefore, we see this evening, that he did not build his church upon the faith of Peter here. Brother, I've heard men say that he built his church upon Peter, upon the faith of Peter, and I'm not so, child of God, and because he built his church upon the faith of Peter, he's doing it upon a weak foundation. A very weak foundation, because Peter denied the Lord and even cursed. Peter denied him. But he said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock was Christ. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we go over there where he said, he is the rock, and he is the rock, and his works is perfect, and all of his ways of judgment, and a God of truth, and without iniquity, and just and right is he, a child of God, and whatever he does, it's right. Whatever he does is right.
He is the rock. His works are perfect. For all of his ways are judgment. A God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. And then we find in another place, we're talking about the church kingdom. Brethren, I believe today, I believe at this very moment, that the presence as I look you in the face, I believe that this is the church kingdom. This is part of that kingdom that he set up almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was here on this earth. I tell you, the world is trying to teach today, and the world is preaching today, and that Jesus Christ is going to come back into this earth, and he's going to set up a kingdom, and he's going to reign 4,000 years, and he's going to give people a second chance to accept the Lord. Brethren, the Bible don't teach that. I'll tell you what the Bible does teach, and when Jesus Christ is here, almost 2,000 years ago, he set his kingdom up. Well, he said up on that other, and God set his kingdom up. And now the church age, and the visible church age, which we shall see here this evening, and where God's children are gathered together, and no matter where they are, if they're in the love and the mercy of God, and then born again by the Spirit of God, our brother, it's the kingdom of God. But he set his kingdom up. He set his church up. And there is not a doubt there was in hell, a children of God, and a destroying one of his, and a like vessels of mercy, from that kingdom, from that eternal kingdom. Brethren, we must stray and go away from the ways of God, here in this world. We do things we ought to do, here in this world. I'm a child of God. Aren't you glad this evening that you're never strayed from him? There is no way that we can fall from the love and the mercy of God. Brethren, if we're born again by the Spirit of God. As a man told me one time, he was a good man, I believe he was a godly man. And God knows in my heart I don't want to judge. But this man told me that you could be saved today by the grace of God and die and go to hell tomorrow. Brethren, if that ain't one of the weakest things I've ever heard in my life, he said he read in the Bible where a man can fall from grace. But I never found it in there where a man and I can fall from grace. But I tell you what I did find in there where he said, how far it is impossible if one of those who are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, if they shall fall to renew themselves again into repentance, saying to themselves, how they crucify the Son of God to an open shame, and they put him to an open shame, brethren, and that's what he's saying here. If it were possible for one of God's little elect to fall from grace, to fall from his eternal love, and then the only way that would ever have a chance to get back into his kingdom is that Jesus Christ come back to this world, live in this world, be crucified, and go to that cross and die again, and go in the heart of that earth and come forth a conqueror from the grave. Therefore, brethren, he said, for it's impossible for those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost to fall away. Brethren, you'll never eternally fall away from his love and his mercy, no. But you can fall away from the precepts and from the walk and the talk how we conduct ourselves as we live here in this world. Sure, we can fall from that child of God. We can go so far out here in the things of this world that our conscience be shared and told by heart on. And brethren, what that means is where you are burned inside that circle, there is no feeling, brethren. I believe that a man can go so far out here in the things of this world sometimes, and they go so far and deep out of being child of God, and they never have the desire anymore. As far as the church kingdom is here, but thanks be unto God, they will not keep him from heaven and immortal glory. He's been born again by the grace of God. And therefore, I no wonder then how the writer said here, when Jesus told him, he said, flesh and blood of flesh and blood has not revealed it unto me, but my Father which is from heaven. And I'm a child of God this evening. If you feel in your heart how that God has been merciful to you, and you feel that you're subject of His divine love and His mercy and His grace, and if you feel that you be the wickedest sinner that ever walked, if you feel these things in your heart, a child of God, how best the enemy is in your breast this evening, and that God has been merciful to you, a sinner, as you live here in this world, that you have a divine hope that's been embedded in your breast by the power and by the mercy of God, and through His love unto you, how the Bible says, and no greater love here than and no man than this, and then a man lay down in life for his sins, and under the child of God, and Jesus Christ laid his life down, and He died upon the cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He shed His blood, a child of God, as the Bible said, He flowed to the former sea and to the yonder sea. Yes, I believe, child of grace, and that it covered the sins of all. Back yonder, I was looking up to the time of the coming of the Messiah, just the same as today, that it covered the sins of every child of faith, every virtue, every vessel of mercy, from now to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, it flowed to the former sea and to the yonder sea, and thank God He'll not mess the world of them. And no child of God, there's no way, and no wonder, little child of God, we can say, I will love Thee, O God, my strength, the Lord is my rock. A child of God, this is something that is a solid foundation, and this is something, child of God, that means something to me this evening. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliver, my God, and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and all the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, whom is worthy to be praised, so shall be saved from my enemies. Yes, He is my fortress, He is my deliverer. Oh, that's beautiful. He is my deliverer. Oh, I remember over yonder, back yonder many years ago, many thousand years ago, when God said, I've heard the cries, I've seen the afflictions of my children, I'm dying in Egypt, and I'm going to stand a deliverer. You talk about something. Yes, God chose a man, a child of God that was born. And when his mother saw he was born, yes, she saw him, that he was a proper child. And God, I'm thinking God instructed her, and she built an altar, and she built an ark, out of the rushes, and these things, and they laid him on an ark, and they made a little ark, and they put it on the river Nile. And as the little ark floated, and it floated down the river Nile, her sister Ephraim, I believe was her name, she followed along in the bushes, fearing it should be seen. And as it flowed down the river Nile, when it got down there, Pharaoh, the king's daughter, was out there bathing, and she heard a cry. And she went and she saw this little ark there, and she took it into her own household, and child of God, it was none other but Moses. Oh, God said, I've heard the cries, I've seen their afflictions, and I'm going to send a deliverer to lead them out of the land of bondage. And Brother had been in bondage for almost 400 years. And we find that she took Pharaoh, that she took Moses into her household. Now I want to show you the working of the Lord. When she took Moses into her home, she sent out to get someone to come and care for him. And you know who she got? His mother. His mother. See, we can see the intervention of God, and we can see the work of God here. And Moses' mother came in, and she cared for him, and took care for him, and he reared up in the king's mansions there. And Moses had everything that he wanted. He could take over the king of the providence or anything else. And when he saw the children of Egypt down yonder, But let's not get to there yet. Let's go to something else. And we find that when Moses heard that when God heard the cries and the afflictions of his children, they called this deliverer, and this deliverer came, and child of God, and they saw that he wouldn't do, and therefore this king put him out in the desert, and Moses was gone for some 40 years, I believe it was, and running, and when he walked down to the valley, he saw him out. Saw him out. And there was an unusual sight on that mountain. Moses saw a bush burning, but his thirst was not being consumed. And as Moses began to walk up out of this bush, a voice from heaven cried out and said, "Pull off thy shoes, up out of ground, and thou stand on his holy ground." And Moses walked up to the bush. And the Lord and God spoke to him and told Moses, he said, "I've chosen thee that you be a leader, to be a deliverer, and to deliver my children out of the land of bondage." And you know Moses, like a lot of us today, he said, "I can't go." He said, "I'm stammering, slow of tongue, speech, and all this." He said, "I can't go." He said, I'll send your brother with you, Aaron. Aaron, he'll speak for you, Moses. And I know this evening that I do not have time, but there was 10 plagues that was set upon the children there. And Moses goes to the king, and he'd tell him about each plague. And the Bible says that he'd tell Moses that the children could go, and then he'd harden their heart. God would harden his heart. There was 10 plagues set upon the children of Egypt. But now we want to get back to these two deliverers and this one. And therefore, as Moses was leading the children out of Egypt, there Pharaoh said that he let his children go. And when they started leaving, and they started to march out, they came to the Red Sea. And the Bible says that when they got there, the children began to grumble. You know, a lot of times we're like this, you know. Now the children began to grumble. They said, "Would not have been better if we'd have stayed all the taskmasters under the whip of the taskmasters than to come down here, and now we have no place to go. The Red Sea is behind us. The Red Sea is in front of us." And we see that God set a wall of fire behind them, and the Red Sea was in front. And God and Moses said to them, he said, "Stand still." Sometimes you're supposed to be still. He says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And you know how the story goes, and that the waters divided, and the children of Israel and the children of Egypt walked through on dry ground. Surely they did, child of God, into the land of Canaan. Although we found it when they got over there in the land of honey, I'm looking honey now. When they got over there in that land, they became rebellious. And Moses had another little journey to make. Went up on the mountain, and God wrote the 10 commandments. Give them to him, and he come off the mountain. He saw him down there, said, made a golden calf, and said that. Was worshiping the golden calf. Oh, how disobedient many times the children of God are. But we find them. That Moses, therefore, led the children out of the land of Egypt. He led them over there, children of God. And now we hear, and now we see another deliverer that came into this world. This deliverer is the Lord of Lords. This deliverer is the King of Kings. This is the man that it pleased God to send into this world. Yes, to redeem the family of God and to save them. And he is our deliverer. And he is going to deliver it. But thanks be unto God that it's not by flesh and blood. By flesh and blood. It's not by what that I have done or what you have done.
to gain heaven in a moment of glory. Everything that I could do, everything that my body could muster to do, I cannot save my sin. Killing this poor boy that stands before you, if I'm ever blessed to stand around the throne of glory and to stand in his eternal city, it'd not be for anything good that I've done. It'll be by the mercy and the love of God. It'll be by his eternal love. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Not upon you, Peter, but upon Christ, upon this rock. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples, and they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. You know, children, when Jesus Christ was traveling on this earth, he traveled, according to the scriptures, some 33 years. He went around to all places, all manner of places and times, healing the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, opened the ears of the dead, raised the dead from the tomb. Yet there was people that did not believe. People who did not believe. We find over here in the Corinthian letter where it says this: if Christ be not risen from the dead, then is a, let's just read it. But some men will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which is that sowest, thou sowest not the body, but shall be, but grain of wheat. It may change of wheat, or some other grain. But God has given it as a body as it pleases him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh, another a man, another a beast, another of fishes, another of birds. But there are a celestial body, and a body transcendental, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Therefore the glory of the sun, and glory of another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and one star different from another star in glory. So also is this resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So therefore, there were some in that day that said that there was no resurrection. The importance of the resurrection. Now, I don't know today that there's people in this world today that would tell you and I that there is no resurrection. Now the Bible says this. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Ye are found false witnesses of God, because you have testified of God that he raised him up, Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead raised not. For if the dead raised not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, then your faith in vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ,
We are all men most miserable. Now what he's saying here, children of God, is if there is no resurrection of the dead, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then everything that you and I believe and stand for this evening would be all in vain. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then our preaching is vain. And you are still found false witnesses of God, because you have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead raised not. For if the dead raised not, then is not Christ risen. Brother, Christ raised from the dead. And thank God that he raised. Thank God that he was that rock. He was that rock. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you should be ignorant how that all our fathers are under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in this cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Brethren, that rock that followed them we know there, when Moses floated the rock and he disobeyed God, and I bet he brought forth water anyway. I bet he disobeyed God, and the Bible says Moses, God told Moses that he not be able to go into the land of Canaan. I bet, thank God, he let him go up on the mountaintop and he let him view over into the land of Canaan. How the Bible said that his Israel held and not debated. He still had eyesight. Brother, he had all the forms of man. He was crawling all that. I mean, he looked over him and up to the land.